Good morning and welcome to Thursday morning, May the 16th in 2024 on When I Rise. So we continue year B to the day of Pentecost, and on the Thursday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the New Testament letter passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in the book of Romans today, Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 27. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 27. Let me explain. We know that the entire creation is groaning together and going through labor pains together up until this present time. Not only so, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit's life within us are groaning within ourselves as we eagerly await our adoption, the redemption of our body. We were saved, you see, in hope. But hope isn't hope if you can see it. Who hopes for what they can see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it eagerly, but also patiently. In the same way, too, the Spirit comes alongside and helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray for as we ought to, but that same Spirit pleads on our behalf with groanings too deep for words. And the searcher of hearts knows what the Spirit is thinking, because the Spirit pleads for God's people according to God's will. This is the word of God for us. All right, so right here in the heartbeat of Romans is Paul attempting to try to put a couple of pieces together. He's talked about this grand picture of God, because after all, the letter to the Romans is a story of God. It's a message about God and the worship of God. And so he's trying to weave together a couple different things here. By this point in the letter, he wants to talk about how both Jews and non-Jews are in God's plight. Both had, were living lives filled with destruction, and so they need to be rescued and redeemed. And God has been so willing to rescue and redeem them, and he wants them to be ultimately a people of faith. And so we saw that in chapter 4, and we saw that in chapter 6. And then in chapter 7, continues to talk about the quagmire of the human experience, where we're still ensnared potentially by the presence of sin and the allure of sin in our lives. And so Romans 8 is where it comes together. In the present moment, even though we are still, being lured towards temptation, God is victorious. We can know that we are in God's family. He says that in Romans 8:11. And he begins to talk about how we're co-heirs with Jesus. And because of that, there's like this call to continue to be those who are the people of righteousness, the people who worship God alone and who long to be in God's family. And so we get here to the end, and there's still some things that Paul needs to clean up in Romans 8. So how's God going to fix this one world that's obviously broken with a group of people who, even though they're saved and redeemed, are going to be lured towards sin, who could potentially fall because of sin? Like, how is God going to be true to his promises? And this will be something that he has to address again. He hints at it in Romans 9, where he talks about it's not that the word of God has failed, right? And so there still is this piece where God has to save his own reputation by choosing to fix the world this way, by putting image-bearing humans in the middle of it who, although we're redeemed, can be given over to sin. And so how can we continue to move forward? How can we know that we are heading towards the ultimate goal and the telos of what God wants to see done in creation? And so Paul gives us this great revelation here, is that God gives us his Spirit. All right, so creation is groaning, and because we are in the midst of creation, we partake in that groaning. We want something to be fixed. We want this world's order to be reorganized so that people can thrive within it. And so there's this groaning that happens deep within the believer as well. And that groaning ultimately is inspired by the groaning of the Spirit. So you've got like this triple groaning that's going on: groaning within creation, groaning within the life of the believer in the community of faith, and then the groaning of the Spirit, who's helping to fill in the gaps and words fall short. The Spirit continues to intercede, continues to inspire us to pray and to wait and to serve as we patiently wait for God. I love this line in here, how we don't hope for things that we can see. What a neat little soft toe philosophical thing that Paul does here. He says, like, the things that you can see, we tend to them, and we're kind of committed to them in service. But when we groan for things that we cannot see, that's hope, right? And what will convince us to wake up tomorrow with enthusiasm that we woke up with today? Well, it's hope being at work within us. And that hope is buttressed and sustained by the presence of God in our life through the Holy Spirit, right? And so we got this interesting little theme that's building through the lectionary readings this week, right? You got Ezekiel 37 about God awakening a people that there was no evidence of a people, and God bringing them together and giving life to them. In Acts chapter 2, you had these, you know, Jews, followers of Jesus, who, you know, left to their own devices, they're all going to care about their own needs, right? But Jesus wants to give them a mission for the whole planet. And so he gives them the Spirit, and they begin to speak in other languages, right? And they begin this process of removing confirmation bias and removing their own perspectives so that they could be a global people, right? And then now you've got this Romans 8 text where the people of God are joining within the groaning of creation and the groaning of the Spirit of God himself. And we're all on the same page, wanting the redemption of God. So this is the great reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. If you can remember in Genesis 11, the people of the earth get together and they conspire to build this tall tower. And what's going on in the background, this seems to be a way to try to box God out of creation, right? And so their languages are separated, they go their own ways, and they're scattered, right? Some say that the Tower of Babel story would have been read during the Feast of Pentecost, right? So we know the penchant for human beings is to come up with some ideas that ultimately leads to fracture and ruin, right? And so how is God going to fix it? Well, he's going to start small. He's going to begin to reach individuals and put them in community and give them his Spirit. And little by little, they're going to advance this way of faithfulness forward until all creation begins to worship and praise the name of our God, right? Yeah, so those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that we are a part of the community of the redeemed. We thank you that we are people of hope. We thank you that our story is going somewhere to the good end that you've deemed for us and for creation. We thank you that in the moment when we feel all the pressure inside, the pressure all around us, that we also have an advocate. We have someone who grieves with us and who groans with us in the process of embodying faithfulness. And so God, this day, on this week of Pentecost, leading up to the day of Pentecost on this Sunday, we just pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit again. And as you do so, may we feel a kinship with all other people filled with the Spirit and all those who are doing all that they can to serve the purpose of the kingdom of God. So Lord, we pray as we go to schools or to workplaces today that you would allow the kingdom and its ideas to be impressed upon us. And I pray that we might find an adequate leading for what we should do next that would be faithful so that we can please you in all that we do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.